Blog Talk Radio.
Say shit. The off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. On a Saturday night, June 14th, 2014, he is Jay. He is a father and an expected father to be on this Father's Day. I am Dre. I am not a father. Not that I know of. We are back. It's been about a month. Last time we were on the air, we were talking about the NFL draft aftermath after the first couple of rounds and so many different sports things happened since then that we'll cover, some non-sports things as well. We got a half hour of stuff to go through and nowhere to begin and nowhere to end, and it's pretty much going to be off the rails, but hey, Jason, that's pretty much how we do it.
We wouldn't have it any other way. Although I will say I have reached this point now. Now that I, you know, after the football season's over, especially, you know, doing this for the first time in the podcast, and you know, we're banging out two shows a week, and we took a little break and I've reached that point now where I've sort of detoxed from football to the point where now I'm ready for it again. You know, I'm actually kind of ready to get back into the swing of things, and I'm actually starting to look forward to the football season. But that's probably because I am a Chicago baseball fan, or I should say a Cubs fan specifically. Very easy to start looking forward to football when you are a Cubs fan and you don't care anything about hockey, soccer, or basketball.
Hey, wait till next year, right?
Next year's year. No, it's not.
I'm kind of with you. I know the White Sox are contending, but you know, I'm in, number one, I'm in Memphis now. I don't get to see all their games. I, you know, see them, you know, once every other week or so on WGN America, and that's it. So it's hard to really keep up with it. And number two, it's the White Sox. They're not going to actually win the World Series. So exciting as it may be to watch them sort of in contention, we know how that story is going to end. They're going to miss a ring just the same as the Cubs are. They might be closer than the Cubs, but, you know, it's 6-1, half a dozen in the other. But I'm with you. You know, someone said something about 100 days to opening day in the NFL, and the countdown is on. I'm ready. The injuries are starting to pop up. The off season, you know, it's not the NFL off season until, you know, the arrests start and the battering of women and gun charges and everything else. And you know, the NFL off season is winding down and the real season is starting to ramp up when guys start breaking their legs and snapping knee ligaments and declaring themselves out for the year just on these little off season workout programs. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm completely ready to go for football. Not to the point where I'm prepared. There's a difference between being ready and being prepared. I am certainly not prepared. I don't really know much about what's happening right now. Of course, you know me, less is more. But, you know, as we start ramping up here towards preseason football, it really starts to get exciting. You know, we both play fantasy, so we'll both be involved in that. It'll be a lot of fun. But these are sort of the boring days right now. You know, baseball's not really ramped up. You know, we don't really have pennant races or anything like that. I mean, you've got some teams that are showing well, and others that you think, you know, it's like, well, they're just really not, you know. I think your White Sox is a good example, is that not necessarily their success is their success. It's, I think, more a byproduct of the Tigers just really looking awful right now.
Yeah.
Whether they're in first place. That's a team that's supposed to be so much better than they are and just isn't putting it together. But you could have a team go on a run after the All-Star break and put a division away in a matter of a week or two. That seems to be what usually happens. So I think it's giving a lot of teams false hope, especially in a division like that AL Central, which is so close right now.
Yeah, that's how it usually works for the White Sox. They, you know, whether they're terrible out of the gate like last year or pretty good out of the gate like this year or somewhere in the middle, the Tigers do what they do, and which is start slow and get better as the season goes on. A bunch of old veterans, that's kind of how they do things, and that's exactly what they're doing this year. They pay all this money to Joe Nathan to sew up the closer spot and make sure that that's taken care of. We don't have to worry about the closer anymore. Who's going to close for the Tigers? We got our guy. We got our veteran. He sucks ass. So same old Tigers, can't find a closer to save their lives, and they're going to stumble and they're going to fall, and Justin Verlander doesn't look quite the same. He looks like he's faltering a little bit. And yet at the end of the year, everybody will be where they're supposed to be, and Miguel Cabrera will be destroying baseballs again, and the Tigers will win the division again, which is what they do, and the White Sox will probably fade away out of the playoffs. I mean, it's fun to watch them and all, but I don't know how Jose Abreu can keep up what he's been doing. If he did, you know, he's going to come up with 50 homers in his rookie year, and I just can't see that happening, as prodigious as his power is. And they're just getting by on Chris Sale and a pitching staff full of question marks, as far as I'm concerned. I don't trust anybody in that rotation outside of Sale. I just don't see how they're going to get it done all year. The bullpen has just been, you know, a disaster. They have worse closer issues than Detroit, I believe. So, yeah, I don't see the White Sox still being there. But it does make it fun to carry up to the start of training camp for the NFL when you have a team in contention. And at least it makes the summer fun, you know, just waiting for football to start, basically.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We are really at that. We're at that countdown. Yeah, they're talking about it's 100 days until NFL kickoff. It's definitely, you can tell where everybody's attention is. I mean, they are so far the number one sport. Everything else is just a distraction, I guess would be the best word. It's really
pretty
just there to fill time because they can't play NFL games 52 weeks a year.
And you brought up fantasy earlier. That brings me to one thing I want to cover. This guy in this fantasy league I'm in is the craziest fantasy owner ever. Ever. E-V-A-H, ever.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's saying something. Even some of the leagues we've been in, and
I
we
know.
Haven't really gone into our stories because it's really kind of hard to give a listener an idea of how crazy some of the people we've been in these leagues with are. But I am excited to hear this because if you're claiming that this guy's crazier than Jimbo or Freedom in, I believe it was Freedom in Christ.
Freedom
was the
name in Christ.
Of one of the teams. The guy who cut his whole team because nobody would accept his ludicrous trade offers. So he threw his whole team on the waiver wire and quit the league to completely destroy our league.
Yeah.
Cut the whole team because nobody would accept garbage trade offers.
Yeah.
Then he just cursed us all out and quit the league, and that was it. So I got to hear of something better than either one of those two guys.
That's pretty crazy. I might disappoint you. He hasn't left any crazy rantings on the message board, which is pretty much the calling card of the crazy people in previous leagues. It's somebody that takes to the message board and puts out like a manifesto or something. He hasn't done any of that. What he's done is, he missed the draft, so he posted a topic. We got like two messages on the message board all year. And one of them is him saying that he missed the draft and he's up for trading. Completely innocent, no big deal.
Okay.
What he's done since then is take to the waiver wire, and to say that he's decided to churn through guys and pick up guys and make it sort of almost a daily obsession to pick up new players and dump players that he may have just picked up or whatever. This is why he's the craziest owner ever. So the season started, around April 1st, somewhere around there. Today is June 14th. That comes out to approximately, 74 75 days of the season so far.
Yeah, we can call it 75 days.
If you do a transaction a day, you're insane. That would come out to about 75 transactions. That's just crazy to keep churning through the waiver wire every single day like that. With that said, Jason, I got the page up right now. I got our league page up right now. Take a wild guess at how many moves this person has made this season in this league.
Well, it's going to have to be staggering because a 71 per day is insane. I know that because, I mean, I've been in leagues where I've had a lot of transactions. There's no way you can do average a transaction every day. I'm going to go 225.
That wouldn't that be just unbelievable? You're not going to believe how close you are to how crazy it is. 178 transactions.
In a fantasy league.
178 moves this guy has made on June 14th of a fantasy league.
Has he picked up guys and cut them before they even played?
Yes.
So that's almost what you'd have to do. I mean, it's like, oh, wait, I'm going to pick this guy up. And, oh, wait, I just found somebody better. I'm going to cut that guy I just picked up.
Yes. He has done that many times where he picks up a guy and 3 minutes later he cuts that guy to pick up another guy. Yes, he has.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
What place is this guy in?
Unfortunately, he's two spots ahead of me right now. I'm in sixth, and he's in fourth. But I don't know how he's managed to do that with all the moves he makes. I don't know how you keep all those guys straight. How do you decide who you're starting one day and who you're not? Basically, anybody that gets hot, like has a three-hit day followed by like a two-hit day, he picks them up, guaranteed. There's a kid named Oscar Tavares who came up for the Cardinals. He was down here in Memphis in AAA tearing the cover off the ball. I love seeing him play. I just saw him last night, as a matter of fact, because he got sent back down. He got called up by St. Louis a couple of weeks ago because they were going to the American League. They were taking a road trip where they were going to play like 10 games in a row against American League teams, 8 or 10 games. And, you know, the plan was to stick his bat in the lineup somewhere because you're going to have that extra DH spot. He did not perform very well in his sort of audition. He's only 21, so to send him back down isn't really a big deal. He should still be very good someday. I swear to God, Jason, this guy, who I'm not even going to say his name because it's not worth it. He's not going to get the publicity. He had to have picked up Oscar Tavares no less than about five times this season and then cut him back again because he hadn't been called up yet. He was just waiting for this guy to get called up.
He was blocking everybody else in the league.
And the joke initially was on him because being here in Memphis, I kind of got the scoop and I knew exactly when they were going to call him up. I wound up picking up Oscar Tavares and I had him on my team after all of that. The joke wound up being on me, ultimately, because Tavares didn't play well and got sent back down. But my point is, to spend all your time obsessing like that and churning through guys and picking up some minor leaguers and picking up some – there's probably, you know, three or four guys on his roster right now that are not in the major leagues yet, that he's still waiting on them to get called up. This guy is unbelievable.
I'd love to see a guy like that in a money league where you have to pay for every transaction because the pot would be huge. Oh, my God.
I can't imagine doing that in a league.
Move. We'd be in mid-June, and this guy would be $2,000 into the pot already where an average team spends maybe $1,000. So,
I would love to hear a story.
You need to send this guy an email next time we have an opening in our ad hack league because we would have just like crazy, crazy pots. This guy, nobody would have to make moves because of this guy. This guy, what are we getting ready for a Gruden?
if he's that obsessed with fantasy baseball, he might join the league. I don't know where he is in the country. He might fly in for the draft and actually join the league. If he actually, he might be a 17-year-old that just discovered fantasy sports, and he's obviously either a child or mentally deranged anyway, because I won't say his team name, but it's one of those things where he's got every other letter capitalized in his team name. So he's got some issues.
Okay, that's definitely,
He's one of those.
I'm going to go with teenager.
you might be right on that.
Nobody over 20 will do the alternating capitals. No. Unless it's even better when they start using the symbols, you know, when you start really digging deep into the keyboard and you start pulling out the symbols.
Right.
When you start holding down the Alt and doing keystrokes combinations to make them all look like words. Definitely probably some type of online gamer would be my other guess.
I don't know. You might be 35 and just deranged. That might be an option, too. I don't know.
Yeah, he could be 42 and sit in his underwear in his parents' basement with corpses around him, too, for all you know. So don't piss this guy off.
Well, he doesn't know my real name in this league, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
We had another mentally deranged guy make some news since the last time we were on the show. We had a guy out in California decide that he was so fed up not getting any pussy at the tender age of whatever, 18 or whatever, that he's just going to go off and start shooting random people and killing girls and just wrecking lives and doing all sorts of mayhem that he could do. And you know what? That guy could have been me. I'm going to cover that in the after show, so you're going to have to subscribe to the show on iTunes to listen to that one. We got a 15-minute after show after our live session is through here in a half hour. But, I got some things to cover as far as that goes, because I've had my anger issues with women, as have most guys, but I don't think they went quite as deep as me. I've got real serious issues, and I sort of identified with this young man that did what he did, but I'm here to tell you it does get better. So I have a little message for anybody that felt like that guy, and I'll talk about that in the after show. Other sports issues since we've been on the air. You know, we did our draft little coverage after the first and second night, and then, as we already knew, the third day was going to be dominated by the speculation of where Michael Sam was going to get drafted, whether he was going to get drafted. He finally gets drafted, and, boy, the uproar that occurred because of ESPN's coverage of Michael Sam as he got drafted, because he did this unbelievably controversial thing once he got drafted. The person that he was dating happened to be there when he got the news that he got drafted, and he kissed this person on the lips and hugged him in a show of emotion, which is something you saw from almost every other draftee who had a camera in his house or was there at the draft. He had a significant other that he kissed and showed emotion with. And because this other person that Michael Sam kissed and showed emotion with happens to have a penis, we think, at least he looks like he does. He looks like he's a guy just like Michael Sam is. That was some sort of big controversial statement, and all sorts of Twitter eruptions and explosions and, you know, the requisite Miami Dolphin making a homophobic statement and, you know, saying ew at ESPN for showing something so icky as a guy kissing another guy, whatever. So you got Michael Sam's position, so to speak, with the St. Louis Rams. You got the kiss scene around the world. And he, for a while, it looked like all of this might be chronicled on some sort of reality show on Oprah Winfrey's network. What did you make of all of this Michael Sam drama?
I'll tell you, I think I said it before the draft. Can he play? That's all that matters. Can he play? Is he any good? Because if he's not any good, it's a sideshow. You know, cameras in his house. The president calls him. This is a seventh-round draft pick. This guy was the fifth to last player picked, I want to say. Fifth to last. We're pretty close to that. I might be wrong. I might be a couple off. But he was basically the end of the draft. You know, he wasn't Mr. Irrelevant. Can he play? That's it.
Damn near Mr. Irrelevant.
Contribute. That's all the Rams care about. Right? Rams don't care if he's gay. Rams don't care about all this other stuff. The Rams care about, can he tackle the other guy? Can he sack the quarterback? Can he stop the ball carrier? Is he going to get held up on a block? Apparently, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to play football. You know, if this guy is no good, all he's going to be is, you know, who is Michael Sam is going to be the question to the $1,000 answer on Jeopardy someday, meaning it's going to be the one that nobody knows. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all he will be. He'll be, you know, 20 years from now, nobody will know who this guy is. Now, if this guy goes on to be great, which the odds are stacked against him, you know, being that you don't have a lot of end-of-the-draft players go on to greatness, then good for him. The coverage, the president calling him, all this other stuff, who cares? Can he play? If this guy goes out there and he's a beast, the fans will love him. I mean, I'm sure there will be homophobes and there will be racists. And you'll have all the jerkbags out there who just will never accept this guy for what he is. But if he goes out there and he's a really good player, he'll earn his respect. And, you know, good for him. But if he goes out there and he's just terrible, then all it was just a sideshow. He's not advancing civil rights. You know, he's not that's not the way it's happening. Most of this, as it is with most things, ESPN or the 24-hour news cycle, is manufactured news. It's packaged news. They probably had a pre-taped package ready to go as soon as he got drafted. And if he hadn't been drafted, they probably had their own pre-taped package stuff about the NFL is anti-gay, and then you would have had all the protests. Come on, tell me I'm wrong. It would have been...
No, you got it.
He didn't get drafted because he's gay.
They have all the pre-taped package stuff waiting for, you know, for every other guy that got drafted in, like, the first two or three rounds, and then they have something special waiting for this guy that was going to get drafted in the seventh round. And, you know, we know why they had a package for that guy.
Well, how many other draft picks in the seventh round had cameras in their house?
Zero.
How many other draft picks?
But I'm going to guess none.
How many other draft picks in the whole draft got called by the President of the United States?
That's a pretty special. That's pretty lofty. Johnny Football did not get called by President Obama, I don't believe. And even if Obama called him, he would have been in Vegas partying anyway. So
overall, I don't think I've wavered on this position. I really have one position on this guy. Can he play? And if he can play, he belongs there, and good for him. But it doesn't end up being – I don't know. I'm not at that point where it's like, oh, he's a pioneer. He's a hero, you know. Go out there and do your job. That's how you can be a hero. You know, make a game-saving tackle, right? Do something for your team. Help your teammates out. So nobody cares who you're kissing. Nobody cares about any of that stuff. The only reason we saw this was because somebody put a camera in this guy's face during the draft. That's it. Because I'll tell you what, let's hope a few hours later they didn't have any cameras around, because that probably would have been straight to DVD and nobody would have wanted to see that. Well, some people might have wanted to see that. I won't say nobody, but come on now. He just got drafted. I'm sure he was happy.
Yeah, the ESPN's cameras are not around for the real after party, I'm sure. As far as the actual football goes, whatever you said about can he play, that's exactly correct. There's no other argument on that. There's nothing else really to talk about from that standpoint. There's a couple of things about the Kiss and the reality show that I just wanted to say real quick. About the Kiss, about everybody that was grossed out by it and repulsed by it and whatnot, guess what? So was I. It's okay. I'm not supposed to be okay seeing two guys kiss. I'm not homosexual. It's supposed to be kind of icky to me because I'm straight. It's fine. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be shown. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with him. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me. I think the reaction I had was the correct reaction, which was ill, and I kind of turned away and didn't want to see it, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be shown because it's the same honest emotional reaction that everyone else had when they kissed their girlfriend. That's fine. It's okay for me to kind of be, you know, to kind of have my stomach turned a little bit by it because I'm not into that, and I'm not, you know, I wasn't born that way. I'm not supposed to get it. I'm not supposed to understand it, and I think there's nothing wrong with feeling like that. You don't have to come out and be homophobic and say, that's disgusting, get it off my TV, but it is okay to feel a little icky about it. And then as far as the reality show thing goes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not like seeing that just sends shockwaves through the country and everybody just turned gay.
No, seeing two guys kiss will not make you gay. If that were the truth, we'd all be gay like in, you know, in our early 20s or late teens because, you know, you see that around, you know, wherever you are, you're going to see that because it, you know, because it happens.
And that's the other thing. ESPN, by the way, is owned by Disney, who owns ABC. You cannot turn on an ABC show without seeing gay people. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Watch ABC's primetime lineup. Every show has got women or dudes kissing.
Yeah, my favorite show, Scandal. Man. Definitely first and foremost with the homosexual couples slobbering all over each other, that's for sure. And I don't like seeing that either, but it's okay.
It's just part of the show. It doesn't mean you have to go, oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that's life for me. I mean, it's entertainment. They're just accepting that there's that percentage of the population that does that. It's almost become just an acceptance thing more than anything. It's not civil rights. Stop equating this to, you know, gay people don't have to like sit at the back of the bus or drink out of separate water fountains or get hosed by the cops for trying to sit for their rights. Not happening.
Yeah,
stop.
This is not quite the same.
To what happened then, and we weren't even alive for that. And I think I don't know about you, but I definitely do not see this as the struggle of this century, compared to what happened with the actual civil rights movement. They couldn't vote.
Yeah,
white people couldn't vote. This is not that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's not quite. Quite the same as the black struggle. There's, you know, obviously it's not the same. I kind of see their point a little bit about it's a little bit of a civil rights issue when you think about, you know, that straight people can get married and get, you know, insurance coverage for their spouses and whatnot, and gay people can't. So in that respect, it is a little bit of an equality struggle, but yeah, definitely not the same as, you know, the police aren't turning dogs on gays, at least not, you know, as a matter of everyday activity.
I haven't seen any stories about, like, random gay guy getting lynched or hung from a tree.
Right.
You know, some of that shit still happens.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
there's probably parts of this country you'd be better off being gay than black.
Yeah, unfortunately, some gays get that too, like Matthew Shepard. It's crazy to think it happens to, you know, to anybody in this day and age, but it does, unfortunately. And then real quick about the reality show thing, a lot of people were upset about the thought that Michael Sam might have a reality show, and I understand that too because of, you got to concentrate on football. How dare you get drafted and then start talking about a reality show? Because that takes your focus away on football. Here, my point about that is there are so many bad reality shows out there about people that don't deserve to be on television. I don't ever want to see anything about Honey Boo Boo or Jersey Shore or anything like that ever. A reality show about Michael Sam, there might be some gay kid out there getting sort of persecuted like we were talking about, and he sees Michael Sam having a reality show and showing – gay people in a positive light. That actually might do some good. Honey Boo Boo does nobody no good. I have no problem if Michael Sam were to have a reality show. We are out of time on our live show. Come join us on our after show. Just search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast on iTunes. into our live after show, 15 minutes of uninterrupted talk about whatever we want to talk about. And I got some stuff I need to get off my chest, but I actually want to get anything else that we wanted to talk about before that off our chest, before we get into what I wanted to talk about, because I got a feeling I'm going to be filling up the rest of the time with what I had to say.
Well,
is there anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to get to?
Yes, yes. I had a little lighter side of the show here. Well, I guess lighter side depends on your point of view. Saw through the news this week that our friend, creator of English peas, look it up, folks, the great recipe, Paula Deen, our favorite host of, well, former host on the Food Channel, is going after the web of her own. She's going to take on the internet. So I thought we could dig up some friends for her to host shows for her on her network. She could bring in some talent. She could have, sports figures on. She could have people sing her theme song, all kinds of wonderful entertainers. Andre, feel free to chime in as I go through my list of folks.
So she's going to have like a Paula Deen YouTube channel or something? Is that what she's going for?
Yeah, like a web network. I don't know. You have to read the news on this one. I saw this last week on the news, and I was like, really? And I'm like, well, why not? I mean, so I'm figuring – she's definitely going to have Justin Bieber on her channel.
Okay.
I think her and the Biebs would get along a little. I think they share some same views. I believe Hank's looking for some work. Hank and his rowdy friends might be looking for some work. So Paula Deen Network, they might want to give her a call.
They can talk all about Obama.
I know. No, Obama. It's like O-B-A-W-M-A, Obama. I know he's working again, but she could always, if she needs a morning show host, she could always go get Don Imus.
Oh.
So they could have a little talk about I believe it was the nappy-headed hose.
Yeah, that's right. They can talk all about Rutgers and his basketball.
Yep. She could do some crossover with the Golf Network. We could get Fuzzy Zeller.
Oh.
We're just going through our history of secret racists that we've talked about.
I know he could add to some cooking recipes for her. He knows all about that fried
they
chicken.
They could talk all about their watermelon and the chitlins, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. John Rocker might be looking for some work. Right?
You have to pull him up from all the black women that he seems to be dating, but yeah, you can rouse him out of bed and get him on, yeah.
Was John Rocker of the Fat Monkey fame?
did he call Randall Simon the Fat Monkey? Or was
Randall Simon,
else?
Yeah. Now, how many people remember? Everybody remembers that John Rocker was the secret racist, but how many people remember who he called out? That we do. Folks, you only get that kind of secret racist insight here on In Much Less Detail, the podcast. I have a feeling Donald Sterling's going to need some work.
Oh, yeah. Now, depending on what day of the week, he might be, mentally incapacitated or, we don't really know from one day to the next, but we think he's going to have interesting things to say no matter what.
Oh, yeah. He would definitely be somebody that you have to have on air. Do you have any for us? Because I've been reaching back through our long history of these conversations. I know I'm making light of something that's really not funny, but if you can't laugh, you'd cry. and when I saw that Paula Deen was looking after getting her own network, I'm thinking, who's going to watch this? Well, I probably found 7 or 8 people who would.
Well, I think this guy Cliven Bundy out in Nevada, who's trying to defend his ranch from such horrible, horrible things as the government trying to take the taxes that they're rightfully owed. I think he might be a perfect fit sitting next to Paul. I think they'd have a lot of things to discuss.
Yeah, it was funny with Bundy because everybody was on that guy's side till he opened his mouth.
Isn't that usually how it works with dumb people? That everyone's on their side until you find out just how dumb they are.
It's like, you know what? Yeah, you're fighting the system. Well, what? Oh, no, you talked. We're all just going now.
How does the quote go? Better to keep your mouth closed and let everyone wonder if you're an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt or something like that.
I'm sure you paraphrased it quite well.
That sounds sort of accurate, I think. Donald Sterling's wife is a perfect candidate as well. She's about as big of a douchebag as he is.
Yeah, they could have a couples show.
Couples
trying
therapy.
To do the sale of the team. Yeah, and come out of this thing looking clean. But you cannot read about Donald Sterling. I know we talked about this at some length, and this story hasn't gone away. And we talked about this when it first broke. And you don't go a day or two without more Donald Sterling news. He's going to sell the team. He's not going to sell the team. He's going to fight. He's hired private investigators to dig up dirt on all the other NBA owners. That's my favorite story so far. That just came out a couple of days ago. He's like, hey, if I'm going down, I'm a billionaire. I'm bringing all y'all with me. Like, whatever. Okay.
Well, so, he didn't have to go too far. He can go to Mark Cuban. He can go right to Mark Cuban, who defined that slippery slope for me when I was talking about you're going to kick guys out of the NBA and take their teams from them for saying stupid racist things. You know, where does it stop? You know, how far down the list do you go? And then Mark Cuban comes right out and says something kind of stupid and racist. Like, I see a black guy in a hoodie on the street. I'm going to go cross the street, of course. I mean, that's just, common sense. Of course I'm going to do that. You know, are they going to take the team from Mark Cuban? Are they taking the Dallas Mavericks from him? I mean, that kind of defined it for me right there. I talked about the slippery slope, and there it is. Where does it end? Because you could have everybody say something really stupid and racist. Now, I understand it's not on the level of what Donald Sterling said. I get that. I understand. But my whole point was that, there's got to be a line somewhere. You can't just take teams and take entities from people just because they say really, really ignorant shit.
Oh, sure. I mean, just in 30 some odd years now of knowing each other, if all of our conversations had been taped, we wouldn't have jobs at all. I mean, because the stuff that people think that we can be a little off the cuff on this show. You should hear what we talk about when we're not on the show and the stuff that comes up and the jokes that we make and some of the stuff that's just way too soon. We're tame on the show compared to what we can come up with off the air. It's in fun. I mean, I don't think there's malicious intent, but if somebody was recording what we said and we didn't know it and then just played something like a snippet of something or said, oh, listen to this, they're raging racists. What else can you say? I mean, oh, you got me. I mean, yeah, I said that. But
misogynist and
crazy.
Insensitive and everything else.
Yeah, well, that was my little bit of fun. I wanted to put a little light into the show there for just have a little fun with some of our secret racist friends over the years that we've talked about. Not quite on the air, but it's always we know about them. We don't forget. We have long memories here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Time for me to bring you back to the dark side. Speaking of losing our jobs, I might not have a job after I go on this rant. This kid Elliot Rodger out in California that decided that, I've had enough of being rejected by girls and I'm just going to start shooting people and then stabbing random Asian guys and then all of this stuff. As crazy as it is to act out like that, I kind of know crazy. I don't want to say I completely identify with the guy. There's obviously no excuse for doing what he did. That's a cowardly, disgusting act. But, man, I get it. It's frustrating dealing with women sometimes. It drives you crazy if you're getting rejected over and over again. And it kind of ties into my situation where 10 years ago, on Memorial Day weekend, I found myself in a psych ward, and I have 5 minutes to describe this whole story. The part about the psych ward is really quick that I want to describe because it ties up one small loose end from our football season where I had a Heartbreaker Award named after a woman named Carrie Krieger. And the reason Carrie Krieger broke my heart was because I had issues about, I don't know how to say this without being insensitive. I basically thought once I got my hands on a white woman that life would be great. I finally got to date a white woman when I got to my mid-20s, and the white woman turned out to not be who she represented herself to be. She had a secret sex club online up there in Wisconsin where she lived. We were dating by train, and I didn't know this about her. I just knew that she was a little off. I knew her behavior was strange, but I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it was. And then by accident, I wound up discovering that she was part of a swingers club with her best friend, who I had spent Valentine's Day with her best friend and whoever her best friend's date was. It wasn't her husband. I know that much. Basically, I broke down over the next couple of months mentally to where I was not really eating and wasn't really seeing things correctly. I would see Wisconsin license plates on the street and have these emotional reactions. Basically, I wound up eventually checking myself into a psych ward for about a week. And women can drive you nuts, but I got some words for people who feel like this guy Elliot Rodger, who feel like, okay, they're just driving me so crazy, I'm going to have to go off and kill some people and do something. It gets better. It's not worth it. It really does eventually get better. I'm sitting here at 38, married to a wonderful woman. But even if I wasn't married to a wonderful woman, I'd still be feeling a lot better because I eventually got to the point where I had to realize that I got to take care of number one. I can't let women rejecting me and whether I get a woman or not, whether she's white or not, whatever my issues were basically came down to I wasn't giving myself the love and respect that I thought a woman should give me, what I felt entitled to, what they call incel, involuntarily celibate. I never knew there was a name or a term for that, but if you go into some of these chat rooms and whatnot that this guy Elliot Rodger was in, that's what they call themselves. And I was one of them. I was one of those guys. I had a black folder full of songs and poems and whatnot, and there were 90% of them were like hate songs and hatred towards women and violence towards women. And I wasn't going to act out on any of them, but that's where I got drove because I wasn't paying attention to number one. I wasn't paying attention to myself. I wasn't giving myself the respect that I needed to give before I could go out and find a woman to give me that respect. So that's sort of the message that I wanted to get across. I didn't really say nearly as much about about the situation as I wanted to, but just anyone that feels like that. I hate to stereotype a football podcast, but I would guess there's some guys out there listening that probably have some women issues like that. Man, they're not worth it. You got to take care of yourself, and a good woman will come along once you take care of yourself. But even if she doesn't, it's okay as long as you're taking care of yourself, as long as you're living your life and doing things that make you happy, whether that's looking at the clouds or cars or sports or, you know, music, television, movies. There's so many other things to do with your life besides obsess over whether a woman is going to ever love you or have sex with you or whatever. Just get over that and live for yourself and take care of yourself, and everything else will fall into place. It is not worth it. It does get better eventually. And that's pretty much the message that I had to say.
Yeah, I agree.
We are just about.
I mean, I think we all reach that place, especially at 18. Oh boy.
Yeah, no kidding. You remember?
Yeah, the thought police. Thank God we don't have thought police because we'd all be in jail at 18.
I'm on Twitter at IMLDDre. Jason's at IMLDJTG. If you want to email the show in much less detail at gmail.com is where you would go to do that. Look forward to any and every comment that you might have for us. We are out of time. We will see you the next time. Thanks for listening.